Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to the ManaPro Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Radio Show, where we give away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone else on the planet. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens. My co-host is Pat Foreman, author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles. Today is Monday, January 16th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, we welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Once again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
ManaPro understands that poultry owners are as diverse as the birds they care for, which is why they offer both medicated and non-medicated starters. Whichever product you choose, you know you're getting great nutrition for your new chick. Look for ManaPro products at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Looking for an all-natural way to keep your flock healthy from intestinal parasites? Tired of wasting all those eggs due to a long withdrawal period? The answer is Vermex. With no artificial chemicals, Vermex has been a huge success for many species, offering a completely natural way to address intestinal hygiene control and improve general health. Check out the online store at www.vermexusa.com, V-E-R-M-X-USA.com, to see what products you need to keep your animals healthy. Vermex, natural control of intestinal parasites.
Hey ladies, do you have a hard time finding the perfect gift for that animal lover on your list? I did, but not anymore. I shop at HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a great selection of dog, cat, horse, and chicken gifts that are not only cute, but affordable too. Check them out at HobbyHillFarm.com and become a Facebook fan at Facebook.com/HobbyHillFarm to receive updates on new products and special discounts. I just know you're going to love HobbyHillFarm.com. I do.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today. Yes, it is Monday. It is a Monday. Many of you have today off, however, because of the holiday. So if you're tuning in because you have a chance, because you're not at work, welcome. We thank you for joining us today. Looks like several others may be taking advantage of the day off because the chat room, which is normally packed full, is slow to fill up today. But maybe we'll have some folks trickle in a little bit as the show goes on. But, of course, the show cannot go on without, of course, introducing my co-host, the one and only backyard poultry advocate herself, author, and all-around wonderful compost queen, the one, the only, Pat Foreman. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Whisperer. Yeah, compost. I got to tell you, compost is hot right now. Excuse the pun there, Whisperer. You know? But I'm getting calls. I've gotten, in the last few days alone, I've gotten some inquiries from about three different cities about doing composting with chickens in their cities. I mean, how cool is that? Maybe this little composting crusade with chickens will carry on in 2012. So I'm going to be exploring those over the next few weeks. How are you doing today on this Martin Luther King, this wonderful holiday today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Around the homesteads, pretty much today, the same old, same old. Still putting in fence. We've got about, I would say, 20 to 25 more posts to go, and then this actual lot that the house sits on will be posted. And then then it'll be time to go. Of course. And then we've got to go get the wire. I think, I'm not sure exactly, I haven't picked it out yet, but we're putting wire. We'll put the wire around the outside, of course, of the posts. And then once that's up, then we'll go back and we'll get the boards, the 2x6 boards, to go all the way down the fence line to make it, you know, pop and look real nice and pretty, farm type of farm fence. And so we still probably have at least, you know, 2 or 3 weeks to go on it, but we are doing it ourselves. And being that the tractor is tractor's out of the loop for about a week, so it's just Philip is at one with the post hole digger, so he's out there actually right now making some progress with that while I come in and make a living here. So
well, I was going to say, if you're putting in those fence posts, it's really great for the six packs. You know, it'll build those ab muscles up really strong pretty fast.
And your arms and your shoulders, absolutely. I loaded I helped load the truck over at the Lowe's the other day, and I felt it that night. You know, we got about 50 of those 4x4 fence posts, 6 foot long, and 80-pound bags of Quikrete. So,
Man.
I was feeling it the next morning when I woke up, absolutely. But we had in the old Ford, I love it, and I've had it for a long time. It's a 83 Ford F-150. It's got the straight six with the manual in it, and it just won't die, thank goodness. But we had right at 2,000 pounds of Quikrete mix in the back, 80-pound bags worth, and then we had about 50 fence posts, 4x4, 6 feet long, also back there, plus me and Philip. So we probably had about at least 2,500 pounds, maybe closer to 3,000 pounds in the back of that truck. Let me tell you, it was a little squirrely coming home because the front end was so light off the ground. You know, any little movement left and right got that thing a swaying back and forth at the front end. So it was quite a challenge getting the old getting Betsy home that day. But we did. We just took it easy, kept it in low, and got home no problems. But around here today and the rest probably tomorrow too, it'll be fence post time, and I'm trying to think. It's okay. Let me make. I'm not sure exactly, and I haven't looked real close how I'm going to work this out. Tomorrow's show should be no problem. Wednesday and Thursday, however, questionable right now. Jen, with her job, she's got to travel down to Columbus, and she's got some testing to do with some of the students at K-12. And so not her specific students, but students that go to that school, and they're doing some type of testing. So they all meet together, and she's got to run some of the testing. So it'll be me and little man, and we'll we'll have to figure out what to do with ourselves during that time. Maybe we can find a gun store, an Army surplus store, like we always do down in Columbus, or maybe go to the range or something. But I'm not sure about the radio show yet. I will try to find a place to try to broadcast the radio show, maybe from the SUV, which is fine, but there may be a little cackling in the back of the human nature in the background with Caleb co-hosting the show with me those 2 days. So I'm not really sure yet. We'll see what happens.
Oh, he'll be fine, Whisper. And in fact, Thursday I'll be saving lives,
Thursday.
And Friday. So I'm sure your little man there, little Caleb, will be a great co-host for you.
We'll see. He's got at this age, kind of a short attention span. So we'll see what. Imagine that. So we'll see how that will. But anyway, I just wanted to give forewarned folks. I don't anticipate canceling the shows because I love it, and we've got some great guests coming up Wednesday, Garden Wise Living with Arlena,
mm-hmm.
And then of course Thursday, We've got a doctor, poultry scientist, Dr. McCray, coming on. So we've got that coming up on Thursdays. But I just want to tell people I'm working on that. So, but other than that, around the homestead, it's kind of the same old with the fence. How about what's going on with you? What did you do over the weekend, Pat?
Oh, wow. Well, I got to go to the dog agility trials over at the Virginia Horse Center. I got to tell you, Whisper, those little dogs work so hard, and they're giving it their all, and they're so eager to please their owners, and their owners are just so proud of them. It was just so enheartening. I get a thrill out of it. It just almost brings tears to my eyes, some of them that are working so hard. So that was great fun. And then I'm getting ready for these courses that are coming up next week. Really excited about the kickoff of the Chickens and You training series. So that's going to be I think, really good. For those that are interested, Thursday, January 19th, that's this one coming up on Thursday already. Wow. When we do the Chicken Have More Plan, explained is at William Byrd Community House, and that's here in Virginia. If anyone is in stop by, we'd be glad to have it. And then the next weekend after that, we're doing a triple hitter of courses on laying hens 101, starting from scratch with baby chicks, and gardening with chickens, all on that same Saturday. And if people want to see the schedule, just go to Chicken Egg website. That's chickeneg.com. Yeah, there you go. And all the schedules there, and they can sign up or whatever. So that's, chickens, I duly believe in my heart and soul, and I know it's true, are the enablers of local food supply. So if people are going to be community food sufficient, they got to have chickens.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm so excited about 2012. I think some really great things are going to happen this year. I mean, getting more chickens into composting. I'm getting some inquiries overseas about doing the top scale building with chickens, which is great. And who knows where it's all going to end up. Who knows?
Yep, you never know. You never know. Fabulous.
Whatever
fabulous.
It is, I'll give it my all. I'm in for the long run. And I know you are too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That sounds awesome. And I'm also, I didn't mention this, but working diligently on making sure everything's prepared for the International Poultry Expo next week.
Yeah.
I may be the only folks there really. Because I know that eggcartons.com will be there, but they'll be under Fall Harvest Products, their manufacturing side of the business. But mostly it'll be me promoting small backyard flock poultry, organic homestead, that type of thing, amongst the big boys, the Tysons, the Purdue's, and the big egg producers and chicken producers all over the world. 20,000 plus visitors from literally every continent will be there, and so I'm looking forward to it. So I'm getting all the fine tunes, getting my shirts to the cleaners, making sure all my broadcast equipment's working. Got my cap all cleaned up, exactly. So just trying to make sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed for that event next week. So we'll be heading up on Monday, and hopefully I can make some good contacts there. Hopefully I'll have some good interviews during the show there.
Great interviews. And, now, that's the Tuesday, the 24th, Wednesday, the 25th, and the 26th, Thursday. You're going to be
correct.
Like David and Goliath there. You'll be the one little guy that represents the 99% of all the chickens in the world, aren't you?
I'm going to
be
doing
my best. You're going to occupy the Poultry Expo show.
You got a point there. Yeah, the 1%. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'll try to interview the companies that, because a lot of people don't realize some of these big companies do make and produce a lot of the small things for the backyarders. So I'll try to keep the interviews pertinent to our listenership. But then maybe we'll have some that'll be interesting about. There's always and it's not. Don't get up in arms. It's not the Humane Society of the United States, but it's another one that often attends there that's really don't even compare the two that is there and has a booth. I'm not too far from them, I don't believe, either, based on our booth placement. And they kind of keep an eye out on some of the stuff. We'll try to interview them, and we'll interview some of the companies that may be trying to go organic, trying to have bigger cage sizes, trying to do the more humane thing best they can based on, again, falls down to a lot of times profit, I know, and space that they have and the number of chickens they need to produce to pay their employees so they can send their kids to college. I get it. But so we'll maybe be asking some tough questions as well. So we'll just see how that pans out. So I am getting kind of excited about that. There's a couple of chickens in the news. You know, we get to that later in the show now, and because we've got today an awesome show. It is Monday, which you know means Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, is going to be joining us. It's 15 past the hour now, so we're running right on time. Mm-hmm. But I got a couple of stories to share for chickens in the news. I just kind of have to go, not again. But there were two stories today that came across the newswire where chicken coops burned to the ground and even one case damaged some homes because of a stinking unnecessary heat lamp. How many times? Oh. How many times? Oh. This must be story number 10, Pat, that we've shared about this year, just this year. Yep, chickens, they're fried chickens now. And so I posted it, and of course we still have some people that comment and say, how cold is too cold? I feel like I'm neglecting them if I don't put a heat lamp out there. And, you know, I'm like, hello, chickens have been domesticated for about 8,000 years. We've only had electricity for about 150. So do you think all those people for 7,850 years felt like they were neglecting their chickens because they didn't have a heat lamp out there? Of course not. So you know, you just have to put things in perspective, and it's one of those things we try to educate on the show. Every single expert we've ever had do not use heat lamps in their chicken coops. Every expert we've ever asked claim that, of course, as we always claim, in most all cases, they don't need heat, and you know, it's one of those things. So they don't need heat. So in most all cases, we have people post on our Facebook page, Pat, Wisconsin, negative 35 degrees, went out in the coop. It was nice and toasty in the coop. The chickens were doing fine. Mm-hmm. They were happy to see me because I make sure that it's well ventilated and no drafts, and we've got plenty of bedding to keep them warm, blah, 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 blah. And so it's just, again, this must be story number 10 just this year.
Yeah.
Who knows how many go unreported, you know, about that we don't see. If we're already reporting, you know, 10, then who knows how many go unreported, you know, 5 times that, 10 times that. It's just, it's absolutely insane. You're going to kill them with kindness is what it's going to boil down to. So it's just one of those.
Well, the important thing, I mean, if people are going to worry at all, is to keep them out of drafts. We've talked about this so many times before. Just make sure that they're not in a really humid place, so your ventilation is good, but they're not in a draft, and most of the breeds will be fine.
Yep.
There are some tropical breeds that might suffer some frostbite that you need to be a little concerned about, but just make sure they're draft-free, and they'll be fine.
Exactly. And, you know, there's again, if there's moisture, if you don't have it well ventilated, the moisture builds up, and then that's what's going to cause your frostbite. So if you have
and chill. I mean, don't you get chilled when it's just really humid out?
Exactly.
So if you can keep that moisture from building up, they'll be able to keep themselves warm.
Exactly. Wouldn't have to worry about that frostbite if you had the well ventilated coops and no drafts and the moisture and the humidity didn't build up. So it's one of those things. And not to mention, if the power goes out, the effects your birds are going to have if they're used to that heat lamp and all of a sudden they don't, they won't be acclimated. Anyway, so you know what else I'm going to say. So it's one of those things. Hey, I'm you know, every expert on the radio show we've ever had over our almost four years of broadcasting, no heaters. It's just one of those things. And I'm not getting mad at people. We just want to educate them. If you put a heater in your coop, that's fine because you I'll sleep better at night knowing my birds are toasty and warm. That's fine. I'm not harping on you about this. I'm just educating you to let you know that when you wake up and they're all fried chicken because your coop burned to the ground and your neighbor's house burnt to the ground and you had thousands of dollars now to pay for, that's in these, you know, in the story we posted last week, you know, $4,000 worth of damage. You know that, you know, or can you really sleep at night knowing you're going to kill them with kindness, possibly? Or when you wake up and your coop's burnt to the ground, I don't want to have to say I told you so. But it's just one of those it's one of those things. So, yes, you can have well ventilated without drafts. That is absolutely true. In fact, we've asked, again, Dr. McRae has been on and explained at least a couple of times in detail about how you can have it nice and ventilated without any type of drafts. So you might want to go back and listen to those. Well, I know she's covered it at least twice when we've had her on about the being ventilated without any drafts. So and the definition thereof and how to accomplish that. So it's one of those things. Already 5 minutes late. So let me get over here to the switchboard, and we are going to, of course, bring on our good friend every Monday, Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. Welcome to the show, Peter.
Hey, Andy. How you doing today?
I'm doing absolutely fabulous. And it's a Monday, but it's a great Monday. I'm in a good mood, and I tell folks that if they can tune in every day at noon, they'll get have more cheers and smiles and laughs during the day, and then Friday will get here before they know it if they can just tune in and enjoy us and have a good time here. So thank you for joining us today.
Sure.
We've got a great topic that we're going to be discussing. We will be trying to take some calls, too. We've been just totally flooded with calls the last few shows. And we didn't even have topics because we had so many phone calls from folks wanting to ask you some questions. So that's really cool. Today we're going to try to hit on a topic as well, which will be how to tell, or the many ways to tell, what hens and which hens are actually laying. So we'll be talking about that a little bit. I'll be monitoring the switchboard. You can go ahead and call in now and get in queue if you have questions for Peter Brown. 347-637-3237 is the dial-in number. When you call in, make sure you press 1 when the lady tells you to if you want to speak with the host, so we know you want to speak and have a question for Peter. Again, that's 347-637-3237. You can call in now and get in queue on the switchboard if you have questions. And again, we'll be talking about how to tell which hens are actually laying in your flock by the several different methods and checking things. So we'll have that today. But also, I've learned that because Peter's here sharing his wonderful knowledge every single Monday here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, and he's given a lot of advice out. And we actually, Peter, you got an email from somebody that took your advice. You actually sent them some product to use to help their problem, free of charge, I might add. And you got an email back from them giving you just wonderful praises. So let's kind of start off with that. And because, you know, I know, Pat knows, you know, and a lot of times, and we were talking about, you know, we hear from folks that say, hey, thanks, love your show, love this. It's like, you know, sitting with the family, love Dr. Brown, took his advice, it was awesome. But occasionally we do get the emails stating that. So we would love for you to share that email with everybody and share what the young lady had to say.
Yeah, it was, I think it was roughly about 3 weeks ago, somewhere in that range. And the lady called in. I believe her name was Joanna West, but anyway, she had called in and she had described a blue Orpington hen that she had that had bald spots and bald, what she called bald patches, loss of feather on the back and wings and so on, and for quite some time there was no regrowth at all. Excuse me. And we discussed it. We talked about it, you know, being hormonal. We talked about it being nutritional. We talked about it being possibly genetics and the whole nine yards, and no real way of knowing. So I suggested sending her some supplements to try and see if we could stimulate these feathers to grow. Irregardless of I want to say this before we get on this, irregardless of what you may be feeding, the quality of it, I don't even want to get into organic. I don't care what you're feeding. If you're feeding a good standard feed with, you know, greens and other stuff, and sometimes, for whatever the reason, and this part of it usually is either disease-related or genetic-related, that a particular bird or a particular group of birds just cannot absorb everything they need to put the feathers back on. Sometimes we see this as birds age. We also see it with humans when we age. We just can't get as much nutrition out of the food that we eat, no matter what the condition of it is. So I suggested these supplements, and if my memory serves me correctly, I gave her a bottle of A-Lite amino acid concentrate. Amino acids are the building blocks of life, so where everything basically starts. Some people like to call them vitamins, but technically they're not. I sent her some Vitapro B, which is the best vitamin compound, as far as I'm concerned, on the face of the earth. It's very concentrated, has everything that birds need, including a probiotic. And I also sent her my Silver Bullet, which is a product called Replimin Liquid with Iron, which is nothing more than a group of chelated minerals. Now, for those that are not familiar with chelation, chelation is the attachment of the mineral to a readily and rapidly absorbed amino acid compound. So what that means is that it's available today, now. As soon as the bird takes it into its system, it starts to break that down and absorb through the amino acid, and we see pretty quick results with it in most cases. We use it lots of times for birds that are older and are not producing either eggs or males that are not producing viable semen. So at any rate, I sent it off to her, as Andy had said, free of charge. And I got this email back. It came in on Thursday. I didn't open it till last night. We were away up in New England at a poultry show. So being the person I am, I couldn't stand letting all the emails go. I had to read some of them anyway. So anyway, here goes. It says, hi, Peter. My mother was a caller on your show a couple of weeks ago. She described the condition of our blue Orpington Nan, who had developed bald patches on her wings and her back, and her feathers showed no signs of regrowth. Well, she and I have been religiously adhering to your instructions with the supplements you sent in the mail. For the first time in over 6 months, we are finally seeing results. She has pin feathers popping up all over the place. I don't know what the secret ingredient was, but thank you for finding it and sending it our way. I'm taking care of the hens while my folks are vacationing. When I told my mother the good news, she insisted that I write to you. Thanks, the West family.
Awesome.
Nice.
Absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, you,
and you,
you
did that with
wonder,
amino acid to get the, could the feathers to grow out, Peter, was mainly with amino acid
I also think it's the amino acids. It's the trace minerals. We've just seen tremendous things with those trace minerals, the vitamins. Sometimes we will see birds in this type of condition. And it doesn't always work. Sometimes nothing works, you know. You just have to be careful with what you do, and you just try everything you can. But liquids seem to absorb better through the gut wall for some birds than others. We've seen this in years past with birds who were commercial birds, white leghorns in cages, full feed, and so on. But they had what they called cage layer fatigue. Had nothing to do with really being in the cage. It had to do with the inability of the bird genetically to absorb all of the calcium needed from the feed, even though it was there in sufficient quantities. And upon post-mortem, you would see it because you would see where the ribs had been broken constantly and almost looks like they're welded back together, the little bead of calcium around where the break was. It's very obvious when you see it. And the only way we were able to stop that was by giving vitamin D3 in the water, which allowed the bird to because there is a ratio between the calcium and the phosphorus and the vitamin D3. If they get out of whack, that's where your soft-shelled eggs and stuff come in and that kind of stuff. So sometimes you're just better off giving supplements in the water. Certainly they're easier to give, and for whatever the reason, whether it be genetic, whether it be disease, some diseases that can cause this, coccidiosis and worms, two of the worst offenders in this type of situation. I can't speak to the fact of whether this bird ever had any problems with the intestinal tract at all. But when you get the coccidiosis and you get that real bad bleeding and sloughing off of the lining of the intestine, if that's left unchecked for a period of time, you don't get the regrowth of the villi that help move and help absorb the nutrients in the intestine. And most people might not remember, but when we went over coccidiosis last year, we talked about the fact that the villi in the intestine, they move the food and the feed through the gut, but where the villi bottom out and touch the bottom of the intestine, that's where the absorption takes place. And the villi hold that feed for a short period of time, or slow it down, so to speak, so that it doesn't just rush out of the intestine and come out the back end almost undigested. So when those are damaged, shortened, lack thereof, and anywhere in the intestine, you don't get that absorption that you need, to maintain the bird in the top-notch condition. So hopefully we've helped this bird and helped these people over this thing, because nobody likes to see a bird that should have feathers without feathers. It's a different story if you're growing naked necks or something like that. But I was surprised to see it. I don't always get the feedback. I ask for it when I offer the goods for free, but people don't always take the time back. So I was glad. It'd be nice to see how this works out, if it stays that way. But certainly the sign of pin feathers is certainly a step in the right direction. So I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah, that's fabulous when you can hear from that and hear them. What a great letter of them take the time to do that. I try to on occasion when things go wherever I'm at. Maybe I'm at a restaurant, you know, try to send a little note or send a little letter. So about great service, this, that, or the other. I think it's a lost art nowadays. Just like when you send out an invitation and it says RSVP and then people don't. I just don't know. I guess it's something that's just, I don't know. They just think they don't have to. It's not taught anymore. Who knows? But, yeah, that's fabulous. They took the time to do that. I know it makes you feel good, too, and lets you know and gives you that, you know.
Yeah, and I'd like to just say this, too, that, you know, if I send you something and it doesn't work, or it doesn't work the way we think it's supposed to work, if you don't get back to me, then we can't try something else.
Right.
And, you know, unless it, you know, it gets out of hand price-wise, I don't mind, you know, sending out some things to people to try. It helps me as well. It gives me avenues to say, hey, I don't like to recommend things unless I know or have knowledge of the fact that those particular items work. I'm not, anybody that knows me, I know it's not about selling this stuff. That's for damn sure. it's fixing that problem on the other end, and that makes my day. I mean, in a sense, the way I feel about it someday, I can take the whole day off because my day's done.
Right, right.
You know, that's just how good it makes me feel that we've been able to accomplish something positive on the other end, because lots of times it doesn't come out that way.
Well, I think you've got that reputation across the board, and I think more people on the radio show are actually are learning that as well, the more you're on and the more they're working with you and calling. And so let me just kind of let people know that we're very fortunate to have Peter Brown here every single Monday, and the questions are starting to line up here. But nonetheless, if really probably 24 hours a day, you can contact him. Not that you'll get a call at 3 a.m., but you can contact him, and he does have the chicken consultation program. I mean, you may be several hours away from a certified avian vet, or anybody that even has a clue, or even would consider, talking to you about treating your flock. So he's got the chicken consultation program. We've heard great things about that as well. You can go to his website, firststatevetsupply.com, first thestatevetsupply.com. His store is there at that website. You can get all kinds of great product. You can also contact him. His phone number is there. You can leave a message. You can email him. And then he's got the chicken consultation program that I believe is $25. And then if you get what you need to treat your birds correctly anyway, then a lot of times that fee is waived, probably more times than not. So it's not just every Monday. You can contact Peter when you need him the most and maybe save your entire flock by maybe even treating that one bird. So I wanted to share that with folks as well.
Yeah,
I know we have
Andy, just one more thing I want to say about that particular program.
Sure.
I don't want people to think, number one, that you know it's a money-making scheme. Absolutely not. Number two, in many cases, I will leave it up to the individual, okay, if you feel that I've helped you. And certainly, if I feel I have not been able to help you, I've had loads of people over the years and recently with birds who were internal layers and things like that, that you're probably not going to have a very good outcome. Other birds that were severely injured by predators and those kinds of things, I don't even begin to charge for that. And, you know, I leave everything most of the time about the $25 thing. Look, it's how I make my living. If you're going to call me, pick my brain, waste my time, that's one thing. If you're going to, you know, call and pick my brain and then go to the store and buy something, then we're all on the same page. That's basically what it's about. It's how I make my living. It's,
yep.
You know, it's no different than anything else. But I really, to be honest with you, I waive the fee more times than I collect it.
I know, I've heard that,
by far. And because it's not about the $25. It's about the birds and how we can fix what's wrong. So I just want people to know that because I've had a couple of people say, well, you know, I didn't want to pay $25 and find out, you know. Now, if you call me and we can't fix it, we're even. You know, that's the way it is. I'm not going to charge you if something can't be fixed. That's ridiculous. So,
absolutely.
Just want to put that out there.
No, thank you very much for that. Let me get over. I know we got the topic today, but we've got three. I've got three questions lined up here from folks in the chat room. We'll try to get these in order here. Dragon Flyer here says, can VetRx be used on reptiles as well as chickens? How about dogs?
Yeah, I don't see any reason why. Vetrex is a unique, basically all-natural type of product. Let me see if I remember everything that's in it off the top of my head. It's oil of oregano, which we all know has some decent medicinal value. Oil of oregano, oil of balsam, camphorated oil. I know that now that it's in a corn oil base, because years and years and years ago when the product was first out on the market, I think it's back in the 1800s at least, it was a very, very old product. It was then called Save the Baby. Humans actually took it. And it was in a lard base then. I can only imagine what the hell it tastes like. But between the lard and the oil of oregano and the oil of balsam, no, it's all natural. I don't, you know, I mean, I have no experience with reptiles whatsoever, but I don't see where it would hurt the dog. Dog may not like it because of the sensation that it might give you. This is the equivalent, basically, but not the same as what you might get from Vicks. But it is a good, solid airway expander. If the oil of oregano and oil of balsam and what have you come in contact with a bacteria or whatever, it will more than likely neutralize it. But very good airway extender for stuffed up and what have you. A couple of drops in the nostril, a little bit on the roof of the mouth, and should be good to go. But as far as the dog and cat's concerned or even a reptile, I have no experience with the reptiles, but I can't see where it would do any damage because it is all natural. But that's the best I can do there.
Great. Andreas, who is a regular listener and regular attendee in the chat room, is from Norway, and he asks, can you do anything to get the chickens healthy from Merrix? Can you do anything to try to get them healthy from Merrix disease?
We've talked about it before.
Right.
As far as just for argument's sake, if you had a flock of 15, 20 birds and one came down with Marek's, you're far better off to vaccinate everybody, including the one bird that has Marek's. There is some scientific literature, albeit old, that showed that birds that are kept up nutritionally were able to overcome it, and even though they had it when they were vaccinated about 50% of the time. As you well know, I am a big fan of curcumin potentiated with bioperine. Mm-hmm. They can go and they can look at the human research on it. There is some research on the poultry side that was done by scientists in a controlled study. Can't remember where it came from. It was either Saudi Arabia or Egyptian or something like that, but credible research done in a controlled environment that showed the addition of, and they used turmeric at the time, which is different than curcumin by itself. Mm-hmm. They used that in the feed and showed that it did enhance the immune system. They were able to do the before and after as far as looking at immune cells, and by far they had more immune cells running around after the addition of the turmeric to the bird's diet and the feed. The only problem with doing it in the feed is if you put too much in, they won't want to eat it. If you run into that, just dilute it with more feed and it should be okay. But there's enough research with the curcumin on the human side. If anybody wants to go and read that, it's Dr. Bharat Agarwal at the MD Anderson Cancer Research Center.
Would you spell that, please, Peter? It's by who?
Dr. Bharat, B-A-H-R-A-T, I believe it is, or B-A-H-A-R-A-T, and it's A-G-G-A-R-W-A-L. Might be one G in there. I might be throwing another one in there, but it's somewhere along that line.
And that what research center?
He's at the MD Anderson Cancer Research.
MD Anderson?
Yes.
Andy Anderson, okay.
No, M as in Mary, D as in dog, Anderson.
Oh, M.D. Anderson. Okay. Sorry.
That's okay. And that's at the University of Texas. And if you Google that, you'll find out where it is. And he has about 400 and some odd research papers pertaining to all different kinds of human cancer and how this works on it. What it does is it causes cell death, and it goes right after mm-hmm. the cancer cells. Tremendous product. So I'm a big fan of it, and I think that used properly, used in a timely fashion, it can help with the Marek's type situation. And there have been instances where people have used it and have felt successful with it.
So wow. Peter, did you say initially that the curcumin enhanced with bioperine? Is that what I heard?
Yeah, bioperine, B-I-O-P-E-R-I-E-N-E, I think, or something along those lines.
B-I-O-P-E, what is it again?
Bioperine. It's made by a company and patented by a company out of New Jersey, and it's a extract of the black peppercorn.
Oh,
you're looking at two products here that are natural, and the addition of the curcumin and turmeric do not absorb well through the gut wall. And so the addition of the bioperine has enhanced that dramatically. If you look at red cell, and I haven't looked at a bottle of red cell in years, so don't call me a liar if it's not on there, but they used to have bioperine in red cell in order to make it absorb better.
Okay, and then you have that product on your website, right?
I just have the turmeric. I don't have the other, because you'd have to buy it in pill form, and you can buy it just as cheap as I can anywhere on the net.
Huh.
But it is available. As far as I'm concerned,
very
great
cool.
product. You know, we all look around for natural products that, you know, and we hear so much about this, that, and the other thing, and in many cases they fizzle out, and they're not really what they were cracked up to be. But this one's the real deal as far as I'm concerned, because you have to look at it. The University of Texas is not going to employ this man and run all these research trials, which take a lot of money, if there wasn't something there. And they're proving mm-hmm. it day in and day out that this is – this for some people, it's like anything else. You know, I don't think that, you know, a person who's on their deathbed from cancer that starts taking this stuff is going to turn the boat around. I don't think so. Too late. But I do believe that supplementation of this, when you first find out, God forbid, that you may have this dreaded disease, can be of benefit. Mm-hmm. And no reason in the world why it shouldn't be taken.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Now,
do you take
go on and you can read all the research. Pardon?
Do you take the turmeric and the bioprenine prophylactically? I mean, just to keep your immune system enhanced?
You can take it up to 4 grams per day.
Do you? Just curious.
If I ever get my hands to open the bottle sitting on the counter, yeah.
4 grams per day, that's a chunk of, is that pepper and the curcumin?
It's both together, and the...
that's a lot.
The bioperine, I don't think, is quite as much of that as it would be the curcumin. The curcumin is the larger part of the dose.
Couldn't you mix that in a dish that you're fixing in your food?
I don't see why you
just go ahead and cook with it. You have a lot of yellow, though, is the only thing.
The problem I find with any of these supplements is, when you start, you can find turmeric. I have it. I have it from a company that grinds it fresh from the root, as I order. It's not sitting on the shelf. And but that's the whole root itself, and in that turmeric is curcumin. A lot of people like to say, well, curcumin, turmeric, same thing. Not really. But then you go and you want to look and you want to find somebody that has just a curcumin, and then you start, how do you know? And, you can't get any certification from anybody and everything else, and it's a tough deal. But the one place that I've gotten the curcumin bioperine is from an outfit, I believe they're out of Texas, I think, Physicians Naturals, and they have them on here all the time.
I've got another question here because then we want to get to the topic, and because that's going to be listed for our show topic today. So we want to make sure we'll eventually get to that. Mm-hmm. Vanessa, you've talked to her before. Said, "Hi, Dr. Brown. I posted a question a few months ago about one of my hens. She is a Leghorn and has a huge comb. Her comb turns blue on the edges. I live in St. Petersburg, Florida, so it's not a cold issue. She also seemed to be wheezing a tiny bit. You had mentioned that the blue comb is not normal and suggested I treat all of the chickens. I bought tetracycline and treated all 5 of my chickens. Her comb went back to normal and everything seemed fine for a few days. I followed the directions exactly and treated her for 7 days. Now her comb is blue again, and she sounds a little wheezy again. What should I do, other than that she is acting fine? If something's wrong, though, I want to make sure the problem is resolved. Thank you."
I find it interesting that the comb seems to get larger and smaller. I don't believe I've ever run into that.
I don't see that. She has a large comb. I didn't read... where the comb got, turns blue, but I didn't see where she had put in it.
I thought you said the comb went back down.
It went back to normal as far as being back to the nice red color again.
Okay.
So it's the comb was turning blue. She treated and for about 7 days it got back to normal and it was its regular old color. But now it's gone back to being a bluish color again. And she seems like she's doing fine. She just wanted to know if she needs to treat again, maybe a little bit of wheezing, she says.
Yeah, okay. I think what I would do is change antibiotics. She says tetracycline, and as a general rule, we don't necessarily always use straight tetracycline to treat chickens. We usually will use oxytetracycline or chlortetracycline. They seem to be better for chickens. It's not that we don't use tetracycline, and I don't know whether she bought it from me, bought it somewhere else, or whatever. But what I would do is probably get a hold of some gallimiacin and some oxytet, and that would be the oxytetracycline. And I would take a teaspoon of each, put it in a gallon of water, and run that out about 14 days. One of the tip-offs here to this is this is a respiratory issue. It doesn't appear, for whatever reason, to be bad, meaning that the bird isn't really severely ill from it. But one of the tip-offs is the comb being, the edges of it being blue, lack of oxygen, cyanosis. So, and then when she medicated, that went away. So if you put the two together, you're on the right track. But the length of the treatment was short. So I would step that treatment up and go out at least 14 days. You can go longer if you need to. One of the things that I like to do is medicate the bird and go for at least 5 days after the cessation of symptoms. So if, let's say if you medicate it for 5 days and the symptoms have subsided, the comb is back to normal, the wheezing what have you have all stopped, then you could go out to 10 days. If you want to go to 14, it's not a problem. If you want to go to 21, it's not a problem. I just don't feel that, you know, going that far out is necessary all the time. So I don't recommend that all. And you really can't hurt them with
Gary,
it.
Gary, 915.
I'm sorry,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's all right. So from that standpoint, if the comb is still around the edges starting to turn blue, that is a respiratory issue. And I think going with a different antibiotic, gallimiasin is erythromycin, and going out with that, the two of them together for about 14 days, I think, will stop it. The other thing I would do, just kind of take a look, see around in the mouth with a little focus beam flashlight, like one of those little mag lights, and, see if there's anything growing in her mouth. I doubt it because if it were canker or anything like that, it probably... I know it wouldn't respond to the tetracycline or any of these other drugs that because it's a protozoa and requires a specific type of anti-protozoal to take care of that type of thing. It wouldn't even be gape worms or something like that because they wouldn't respond to the medication either. So it's some sort of a respiratory issue. Exactly which one it would be. I can't say. It sounds like it might be something more related to E. coli or something like that because if this were, or possibly CRD, because if this were coryza, it would spread to everybody. And, you're not saying that. So I think that the addition of the medication, 1 teaspoon of gallimiasin, 1 teaspoon of Oxytet, and a gallon of water, run it out about 14 days, and see if that doesn't keep it from coming back.
Okay, perfect. We're going to take a break. I've got Kelly in Georgia's got a question that she has sent over, and I think we may have someone on the line from area code 915 that's got a question for you. We'll get to those two questions when we come back after break, and then we'll get right to our subject matter of the many ways you can tell which hens are laying in your flock. So stay with us, folks. We'll be back right after this short break.
When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing. And you can find all the great Ware products here. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. If you're just now tuning in, today is Monday, which means, of course, you know it. We're talking with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor and founder of First State Vet Supply. You can see them online and see his online store at firststatevetsupply.com. So we've got two questions we're going to try to answer, and then we're going to get to our topic today. And so Kelly in Georgia has a quick question here from the chat room. Let me scroll up here. Here we go. What can be done for a chicken that has gotten canker? Usually it's just in pigeons. She has a friend that's treating a Cochin with probiotics, but wanted to see if you had any suggestions. Apparently, she says there's stuff growing in there, yellow stuff. Thanks. The other chickens don't have it, by the way.
Okay. First off, the probiotic, using it to try to dispel this this particular disease is 110% useless. The probiotic is only going to work in the gut. And it's only going to work to repopulate the gut with gut-friendly bacteria and exclude from the gut those bacteria that may not belong there or limit their the area within the gut that those bacteria would populate. Canker is caused by a protozoa. You may have heard me talk earlier about when we were talking about that hen that couldn't put on feathers, about looking in the mouth and looking for, you know, any growths and what have you. Canker is what you would have been looking for, and it is yellow. Sometimes it's yellow-orange. You'll know it because it's stuck right to the tissue. Okay, it's not a piece of corn that's just you know, laying around in the mouth or anything else. It can be anywhere in the mouth, in the nasal cleft, in the top of the mouth. It can be down the back of the throat. It can be across the glottis where the bird breathes, hampering breathing. Top of the tongue, under the tongue, edges of the mouth, edges of the beak, in the nostrils, in the eyes. It can show up almost anywhere. It just depends on how aggressive it is, how long it's been let go. If it's left unchecked and untreated, the bird generally dies. And that's because it can also become what we call visceral. It'll get down in the body cavity and start growing on the internal organs, and then you're pretty much done. I've never seen a bird that had it that bad that ever recovered. It is not just a disease of pigeons. It may be somewhat more common in pigeons, especially feral pigeons. Most of your pigeon racers will treat for it on a monthly basis, if not more so. And that's why some of the products that they use are kind of worn out because of overuse. But there is a product for it, specifically for it. We carry it here. It's powder to put in the water. It's called Ronazole. It is not up on the website because we're in the middle of a crisis with these products. They're on back order everywhere. I happen to have a bunch of it here that I was able to get. But it normally we would use Metronidazole. On the human side, you know it as Flagyl. Okay? But that stuff is scarcer than hen's teeth right now, and the product that we have found has gone out of sight price-wise.
Can you spell that for our listener?
Yes, Metronidazole. Some people call it Metronidazole. They call it whatever they want. That's pretty close. Usually in a tablet form, you can usually, if you can find it, it'll be in a 250-milligram tablet. I don't know what size bird she's treating, but usually it will give one tablet a day for at least 5 to 7 days. The other thing she can do to slow this down, there's two things basically besides the medication that you can do, and that is to gently but forcefully pick off these growths. And you got to be careful because they can bleed. They don't usually bleed profusely, but you don't want to, you know, tear up the tissue. And then get a bottle of iodine, and using a clean cotton swab, saturate it with iodine, and then wherever these growths appear, put the iodine directly on it, and that will slow it down. If this was just a little tiny, tiny spot, you may be able to even cure it with iodine. That is possible, but generally not, because by the time most people have found this, it's a full-blown deal in the bird's mouth, and if you take one of those Maglite flashlights, like I suggested before, somebody holds a bird and you open the mouth, you generally can see it in the back. It looks like spots on a tonsil, so to speak. But they usually are yellowish to a yellow-orange. In some cases, will look mushroomy. But, yeah, it's common in chickens, becoming more and more common in chickens, in hawks and birds of prey. And I'm assuming the word comes from the fact that they were birds of royalty back in the day. It's called frounce. So, but it's the same thing.
Okay. She said it was a giant splash cochin.
Yeah, I think that bird handled 250 milligrams at least with no problem, at least once a day, and then put the iodine on and see where you go from there. If they can't get, you know, the Metronidazole or anything like that, and they want to try what I have. It's called Ronazole. It's a sister drug. They're all Zoles, if you want to look at it. Anybody that's been around poultry for years and years and years, you might have heard of products way back when called Ipropan and Emtril. They've both been taken off the market because they are carcinogens. And they were taken off many, many years ago, but they were the premier products used for blackhead in turkeys. And for canker in birds.
Got it. Perfect. Okay. Perfect. Okay. She got part of it. If you don't mind, one more time, spell the product that you have so she can knows what to look for when she goes to your website.
The product I have, she just call the office at 410-546-6137, and I'll be around most of the day today, and you know, I can take her order and get it out to her first thing tomorrow, and we'll give her directions for using it. The nice thing about this stuff is a powder you can put it in the water, so you don't have to bother with picking up the bird and so on.
Yep.
But it's called Ronazole.
She's got it. She said she'd give you a call after the show.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be fine. Yeah, I'll be here.
Perfect. Okay. I think we've got one, one more. I think they have a question, I believe. They've been on hold. Area code 915, you have a question for Peter Brown.
Yes, sir. But first, by the way, thanks for taking my call and everything.
Sure.
Hey, that lady that lives down in Florida, now I know that with other animals, I don't know about chickens. I've never heard a chicken have a wheezing problem before, but fungus can cause a respiratory problem too. I don't know what it costs to get a chicken blood tested for fungi problems, but that's something that might be a thought for her to check out. But anyway, my question is, because I'm not familiar with this, a friend of mine was talking about there being a breed of chicken called Blue Americanas, and I'm wondering, did they get that by, like, severe inbreeding, or did they breed that with a bard, or how, is that an older breed, or are they healthy? What's the lowdown on those? Because I was thinking about getting some.
Okay, thanks for your call. Peter, do you know, I know we've had experts with genetics on before, a few shows over the last, even this year, I think we've had a couple of experts talking about genes and DNA and, mm-hmm. and breeding and things like that. Would you have the knowledge to answer his question?
Not a clue.
Okay. No, I know. It's a whole specialty.
I would only muck up the waters with stuff I know nothing about, and that's not what I'm going to do.
Yeah, no, that's I understand. Yeah, I wasn't sure because we've had the genetic folks on here, and it's just they'll come on, and you just sit there and listen, and you try to pretend like you just nod.
Yeah, make believe you know. I wish I could help him out. What he might do is contact the people who have it and ask them to explain it. There's no reason why they shouldn't explain it, you know, where it came from, how it came about. I am not up on any of the breeds that are in the standards and so on. It's just I've got enough to handle on my end without trying to read that book.
Fine. I appreciate the call. Appreciate the question.
In reference to his other comment, no doubt that a fungus could cause. He's correct in assuming that it is a possibility. The reason I didn't throw it out as a possibility was she's using a tetracycline on the bird and she was getting somewhere with it, okay? If she were using the tetracycline and not getting anywhere, I probably would have looked at maybe the possibility of aspergillosis or something along those lines, and then you need to get into an antifungal. But the tetracycline would not work against the fungus. It's just not going to do that. And the other thing that I'd like to say too, going back to the gal with the friend with the canker, oxine in the water after this episode will keep the rest of them from getting it. This is a disease that is very readily spread through the water. It's harbored in the nasal nares of the bird's mouth, it can sit there for years and be dormant and do nothing. Nobody ever know that the bird had it until stress comes along. Running out of food, water, moving, handling, vaccination, showing, breeding, cold temperatures, hot temperatures, rain, thunderstorm, dog chasing them, whatever. All stresses will bring this thing right out. And it can be your worst nightmare because it can spread pretty readily and most people don't pick their birds up and look in their mouth. I mean, it's right. Not practical. Just think about it, you know. So it can be a real nightmare. So the oxine in the water can keep the water clean because a bird that has it is leaving it behind for everybody else when they drink from the common drinker.
Ah, yep. Absolutely. Okay, one more. Mm-hmm. One more, and then we're going to go to our topic for today. And don't forget, folks, we do have a prize. In fact, we may want to actually maybe do that next. We have our riddle mm-hmm. from Peter Brown today. We've got a riddle, and if you can name the disease from the riddle, then we've actually he's come up with three different prizes you can choose from because he was thinking, you know, if you live in Florida, you may not need a heated waterer. So now we've got kind of three prizes, and we have listeners all over the country. That was a smart thinking. So let me get over here and go to this next caller for this last question. Area code 850. Do you have a question for Peter Brown, the chicken doctor? 850. Okay, maybe they just accidentally pressed 1 and just wanted to call in and listen, which is perfectly fine. We thank you for tuning in. And alrighty, let me get over here. We'll do this. Pat, we'll have you pick the winning caller number, if you will.
Okay, let's go with the 8, number 8.
Number, caller number 8, very good. We had so much fun with this last Monday. It really makes people think. We got a lot of callers calling in, wanted to try to see if they knew, and we went through about 4 or 5 callers before we got the right answer, but it was so, because of that, it was so educational, and it was a learning riddle, which is always fabulous. So, Peter, tell us the choice of the 3 prizes the winner can choose from.
Okay, they can choose, again, from the 3-gallon plastic heated base water with the extra summertime base, or a relatively new 15-18-pound feeder that I have just gotten in. It may not even be on the website, but it's real nice. It's holds about 15-18 pounds of feed, and what I like about it, it has a conical top on it. The top is attached. You flip the top over, you put the feed in, and when you flip the top back down, very, very difficult because it comes almost to a point. So birds can't roost up there and do their business in the feed so easily. You'll get one acrobat that can. I know everybody's got one, you know, that can stand on top of damn near anything. But for the most part, it'll keep your feed clean. And it adjusts the food volume or flow by turning the barrel itself. So you don't have to reach inside, take out a pin, and then lose the pin in the feed and have to dump the feed out and look for the pin and everything else. You just turn the outside of the barrel up or down, and that adjusts the feed flow. The third item is a 5-gallon pail nest box for a chicken tractor. And those are made by an outfit out of Michigan called Fowl Stuff. It's the perch, the whole thing complete, everything you need. You'll put it through the wall of your chicken tractor, and it the most of the bucket will be on the outside, and there's a yellow cover that's held on the back with a bungee cord, and you can take that off and pull your eggs out, put it back on, everything else. So that's their choice, either one of the three, and I think they're all good prizes, and you know, we'll take a look at it next time, see how it goes.
Perfect. All righty. We've got caller number 8. And give it a try, folks. It was fun last Monday, and your choice of those three, one of three of those awesome prizes, one of each. You get to choose one of those three. So here we go. We're going to make him Peter bankrupt here. Okay. Here's the riddle, and the number to call in, I will clear the bank, the phone bank, to make it fair for everybody once I read the question. So if you've called in to listen, you may have to call back in. I appreciate that and apologize, but I want to make it fair. Don't want to be accused of anything. So here we go. I am not always twisted, but Chubby Checker and I have nothing in common. I can see things a little backward at times, but not always. I admire the stars, but definitely not the Hollywood type. What disease am I? Okay, I'm going to read that one more time. Let me go ahead and I'll clear the phone bank here. 347-637-3237. 347-637-3237. I'll read the riddle one more time. Give us a call in. Call number 8. I'm not always twisted, but Chubby Checker and I have nothing in common. I can see things a little backward at times, but not always. I admire the stars, but definitely not the Hollywood type. What disease am I? And so that's what we want to... Interesting. You have any ideas, Pat?
I don't.
I don't either.
I don't have a clue. Do you?
Well, I'm in the wrong business. I need to start writing riddles.
Oh, my. You better go on Wait, Don't Tell Me, you know. Or fuck, Don't Tell Me.
Somebody will get it. We've got a lot of smart folks out there. I'm sure of that. It's not that hard.
Right. Andy, there aren't two of them, apparently.
Hey, apparently not, yeah. 347-637-3237. Call in. Give it a try. What have you got to lose? It can be a fun learning experience here. 347-637-3237. We want to be caller number 8. Just what disease do you think some of those symptoms may be associated with? And just what the heck, give it a try. When you call in, press 1 if you want to participate in the contest. If you're just listening, just hang tight. No need to press anything. But if you do want to participate in the contest, when you call in, 347-637-3237, press 1. And we will not pick on you at all if you get the right answer. Me and Pat just told you, so we at this point have no clue what it might be. If you get the wrong answer, the worst that could happen is you might hear this.
Yeah, well, Whisper, I choose answer C. I think it's C.
When in doubt, yep, choose C. And if we really want to be mean, the worst you might hear is this. But that's it. We're not gonna pick on you too much. So oh, amazing.
Oh, Lord.
Gotta love it. Okay, let's get back up here and to the switchboard, and we'll go to call. A couple of people want to try it. Good for them. Let's go to area code 615. 615, you're live on the air. State your name. Tell us what state you're calling from.
Hi, Andy. This is Judy, the poet's wife. I'm
Great.
Calling from Tennessee.
Okay.
And it sounds like Newcastle disease, the part about the twisted neck.
Oh.
Peter?
Huh?
I couldn't hear it. I had a bunch of static. What was the answer?
Newcastle.
Yep, right on the money. Very good.
How about that? First caller wins the prize.
Wow.
There you go.
What was that?
That's fantastic.
Now, how did you derive that? What was your... I still don't get it.
Well, I was thinking about the twisting and the looking up at the sky. And
exactly
with
what it was intended to do.
They
yep.
get hard breathing and the neck twists because they've got that nervous system difficulty.
Yep, attacks the brain.
Well, thank you very much.
That's awesome. Hey,
that is
fabulous. Congratulations.
Great.
First caller gets it. And, okay, what you need to do is to claim your prize, I want you to send me an email at chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net, chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net, and then in the subject line you can put just put Peter Brown, First State Vet Supply, and then if you'll put in your name, shipping address, phone number, and email, Judy, in the email itself. Name, shipping address, phone number, and email. I'll get that over to Peter, and then he can contact you, and he can you can tell him which of the three great prizes you would like to have there. I believe you're calling from, of course, Nashville, and the big vote in Nashville is tomorrow. So we'll keep you abreast of the situation regarding that. But congratulations, Judy. How cool is that? First caller, caller number 8, and she won. So very, very cool. So awesome. So, okay, we've got let me see here. It's I would like to go ahead and cover, if we can, in maybe not a long, drawn-out fashion, Peter, because, again, we can go over just a little bit. But if you can kind of streamline and categorize and define and explain a little bit of the particular ways that you can tell if what particular hens are actually laying.
Okay. In the past, we've talked about you know, what a physiological accomplishment it is for a bird to lay an egg in the first place. The things that have to come together and everything has to be, pretty much just perfect or the egg doesn't come out right. But lots of times folks call me and want to know, sometimes even how old a bird is. And while there's no true way of knowing how old a bird is, we can generally look at some of the aspects of the bird, and we can at least tell how long it's been in production. And if we have any clue at all as to any other things about the bird, we might be able to come up with a relative age. But laying the eggs again, like I said, it's a great accomplishment for the bird, then what you're looking at is changes to the vent of the bird. For instance, and these have to take place because you can't put a round peg in a square hole. Ain't working. Not going to happen. So the same thing has to be accomplished here. And some of the things you might want to do, folks, is after the show's over, get one of your birds that you know isn't laying, a young bird, and take a look at the vent and take a look and see. And then you can apply what we're talking about here and then go get one that you know is laying and you can see the differences. And they are somewhat dramatic. But at any rate, the bird that's not laying, let's just start there. This is going to be more blocky, more square, okay,
mm-hmm.
The opening of the vent, as far as that's concerned. It's going to be drier, okay, there's going to be less moisture, around the vent at that point. The skin is going to be more tight and not supple at all, because it's nowhere near or not coming close to the point of lay for this particular bird, so there's no need for that to happen. The pubic bones are going to be tight together. You won't be able to get your pinky finger in between them as a general rule. In some cases, they're touching.
Why is that, Peter?
Because those bones have to open to allow the egg to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they
so
also
if you have a hen that had been laying and now is not, will the pubic bones close up?
They will retract a little bit, but they never go back to where they were, not to my knowledge anyway. Okay, I've never seen one go completely back all the way back to touching each other.
Okay, so they'll still be wider though, but not as wide, maybe.
Yeah, and then there'll be other things you can look for that will give you some clues as to where you stand with it. And with practice, you can get pretty good at it. As far as that's concerned, the comb of the bird is usually somewhat shrunken, and the comb will be maybe on the puffy side. It'll be cold compared to a bird that's laying. There may be even a white material called scurf that is on the comb of a bird who is not laying or hasn't laid an egg.
Is that because of lower hormonal levels?
And as we've talked in the past, every bit of this is all hormonal. The onset of egg laying is due in part to photoreceptors in the brain and so on, which is one of the reasons why. And we've talked about this. The hormone inhibin, which turns off the egg laying process, basically, and that starts from the first day that a bird lays an egg. There's just a tiny bit of this inhibin that gets dribbled out, and over a period of time, enough of it will be dribbled out hormonally, so that the egg laying stops. Egg laying is supposed to stop at some point, and all birds mm-hmm. are different genetically, so some birds, especially in the show arena, a lot of those birds are not very good layers. Some of them are. It depends on the breeding. Some of the Brahmas, I think it's the Bantams, they lay okay in the first year but don't do much the second year, so it's a tough battle with them sometimes. But again, that's all hormonally controlled. I have helped people out with them by using a specific light bulb that had a longer red light to it, ray to it, and that helps penetrate the brain and give them extra stimulation that way, and we're able to get a few more eggs out of some of the birds that way. But by and large, all hormonally controlled. So those are basically the things that you are going to see with birds that are not laying eggs. So what will you see with a bird that is in production? A bird mm-hmm. that is in production, the size, the shape of the vent will change. It'll go from that blocky appearance to a more oval shape. There will be more moisture there, more moisture making it easier to lay that egg. The skin will change texture so that the skin is now more pliable, and as those pubic bones stretch out, the skin will be able to stretch without breaking. Your pubic bones will spread apart in some layers that I've seen as much as 3 fingers. So, you know, you can start playing around with your birds, looking at them and putting 1, 2, 3 fingers, whatever fits there, and you can judge roughly, you know, that they're laying, if they're 3 fingers apart, probably laying a good-sized egg. That would be my thought on that. But it'll go from that blocky, rectangular shape and dryness to one that's more oval-shaped, one that is got more moisture to it. The opening itself, when it dilates, will be significantly much larger, obviously, than before. The pubic bone shift, you can just basically kind of see it. If you were to take a couple of birds and do it every day that were getting, you know, close to the age of sexual maturity, you'd start to see that thing happening, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a relationship between the comb of the bird and the rate of lay of the bird, okay? And what you would look for there is that the comb has a tendency, again, to get harder, stand up straighter, less flop to it. It may feel much warmer to the touch than the bird that is not laying. Again, we've got these hormones going. We've got better blood flow. We've got everything going on, and so on and so forth. So, and it may even have a waxy feel instead of that scurfy stuff, okay?
Yeah, it may have a what kind of feel, Peter?
A little bit of a waxy feel to it.
Waxy feel, okay.
Yeah. A lot of birds are in really good, good feather and are in overall good health. You see it a lot in your show birds, because they need that kind of presentation for these birds. But the combs are almost just outstanding on most of the birds, stand right up straight most of the time, and so on. Then, you know, there's a loss of pigmentation from the skin. And you'll start to see some bleaching around the vent instead of that nice yellow-orange look. You'll start to see around the vent as a bird progresses on, because they're taking the pigment out of their body, the xanthophyll out of their feed and all this stuff, and it all goes into the egg. And so you will see a bleaching of this particular area as part of the egg-laying process. Now,
and
some
that's
of these
the
things,
vent
I don't know why they happen.
About,
pardon?
That's the vent area that will show
eventually. Eventually, around the vent will start to bleach itself out. But there are specific areas, and they go in specific order. Don't ask me why. I've never read anything or seen anything that would point to the exact reason why. But for instance, with the bird's beak, it will generally start at the base of the beak and work towards the tip. So you will see a bleaching of that. That doesn't mean it's going to turn white. So I don't want to tell anybody, you know, look at it and say, well, it didn't turn white. It's not going to turn white, but it's going to be significantly bleached out from that yellow that you're used to, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so by starting to look at these things, these are going to start coming after the bird has laid more eggs than less eggs. So you can make some judgment calls as to how long the bird may or may not have been laying eggs for you, okay? So the lower beak will start to dissipate pigment before the upper mandible. So those are two areas, you know, that you can look at. Now, going the opposite way, the shanks of the legs, which would be from what you would call the knee joint down, or the unfeathered portion of the shanks of the legs down, they are usually the last place to lose pigmentation. So if you pick up a bird if you pick up a bird and, you know, the legs are pretty much bleached out, the comb is starting to flop real bad, and it's cold to the touch, and, you know, the beak's not got much pigmentation to it. Probably been laying for quite a long time. You can't judge how many eggs it would have laid, but you can certainly look at it and know that you're probably looking at a spent hen more than one that's freshly coming into production for the most part. Okay. This pigmentation will not reappear until laying stops and the bird basically molts and puts this pigmentation back in, and you start that process all over again. Again, all hormonally controlled, out of your control. Certainly the quality and quantity of feed, fresh water, and good fresh air all play into that stuff, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's technically you can't have one without the other. You can't run an automobile without engine oil. You can't run an automobile without gas in the tank. Well, chickens don't do well without water and feed and good fresh air. Stagnant air doesn't help them a bit. Stagnant air just brings on disease. The other thing you have to realize, too, is that egg laying for birds is what we consider a secondary sexual characteristic. You've heard me say this on the show before because people want to know from me all the time, you know, my birds were good. They got a sniffle nose and a snotty nose, and now they don't lay. And the reason they don't is they do not need it for survival, so that therefore it stops. They need the nutrients and the vitamins and the minerals that were going into that egg now for survival. So the bird goes from egg-laying mode, which is really a reproductive process, into a survival mode saying, hey, I'm not feeling so hot, you know, I'm not putting out any more eggs. And that's why it basically stops, usually a disease entity, or there are healthy birds that just quit laying, and that's generally genetic or nutritional, as we've seen with some of the other things with feathering out and so on and so forth.
Is that, Peter, question, with the commercial layers, do they, I mean, I know after 2 years they're pretty well spent. Are they genetically then sort of wired to just stop laying then, or would they continue
No. No, not at all, Pat. What the problem there is dollars and cents.
Right. Well, yeah.
Okay. As those birds,
so these
high
people
producers,
that are
pardon?
Well, the people that then are rescuing these birds, these factory farm birds, they can still expect them to keep on laying
for
a few years.
Oh yeah, sure. No, they're not. Well, all they're doing there genetically with these birds is you know, manipulating them through breeding, you know, one good layer to another and so on and so forth, and then taking those out that are not good layers and not perpetuating that particular line, but they're getting those together that lay a lot of eggs. And, you know, they'll not lay that well in the second year, certainly the third year, and it's just a matter of economics. The amount of feed for the amount of eggs that you get, you know, can vary dramatically and not cover the cost of the flock. So that's why they do it. I've been out of that end of the business for so long, but what we used to do on the farms that I was in charge of, we would look at everything economically. We would look at the egg market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do we need another, you know, flock in here that's going to eat more food and pump out more eggs so that we can put them in the breakers where we get the least amount of money? Or do we need to just molt this flock, which will cut back on the amount of eggs we have to sell and bring them back into production, you know, a little bit later? And, you know, can we live with that? And it's all economics. And they'll sit down and look at what it's going to cost to make that decision and go with it from there. So not everybody molts their birds. Some people lay them out, and when they get unproductive monetarily, they bail out and they're gone and new ones come back in. And it takes time to get birds up to speed, you know, and just because you got a 16, 18-week-old pullet doesn't mean they're going to come in and start spitting out eggs left and right. It takes a while, you know, several weeks of them sitting in there getting acclimated to the new surroundings and, you know, so
right,
on and so
yeah.
forth. Then you start, you know, they don't all start out, you know, laying large and jumbo eggs for sure. You know, you go through the usually the first one is what we call a peewee egg, And there is a market for those, but again, you don't get as much money for a peewee egg as you would a large or extra large. And the type of bird that a company may use, and they're all different breeds, would depend on the market that they play in. If they are in a market that requires them to have more large and extra large, they'll use a breed that produces that kind of egg in relation to one that might produce a medium and small, a medium and a large egg, and not so many of the others. Because you don't get that big a premium for the jumbos and stuff. You just don't, comparatively.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's basically how that works. And again, I don't know. When I was out at Rose Acre Farms, I can't remember molting anything. It was all in, all out.
Mm-hmm.
At a particular house, get rid of them and put new ones in and go with it from there.
And they went
Perfect.
For soup, usually?
Pardon?
They went for soup?
When you go and you buy a can of Swanson's chicken breast, you're eating a spent hen more than likely. And it's the most important part of the spent hen is the breast meat. And,
okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, one other thing I want to say about this here is that the loss of pigment for the shanks is front to back. Okay? So they kind of lose these things in some sort of order. And again, if you're looking at the shanks of the legs and they're pretty much bleached out, the general rule of thumb is that bird has been in production or laying eggs. And again, you can't put your finger on how many eggs the bird has laid, but you know it probably laid a fair amount of eggs because of the bleaching process. And that
mm-hmm.
bird would be in production for at least anywhere between 4 and 6 months. That's the length of time it would take, to bleach out like that. And that's basically it. Those are the many ways that you can tell, quite a few ways, and most folks should be able to apply this information and practice on their own birds and go with it from there.
Wow.
Perfect. Well, thank
nice.
You so much for all the absolutely awesome information today, both all the great questions that were answered earlier in the show, the awesome giveaway riddle and prize that Judy won from Nashville, and, of course, the great topic today of the many ways you can tell which hens are actually laying and which ones are not. So absolutely fabulous. And so, again, want to say thank you very much for joining us. And if you like what you hear, other than Mondays, you can contact him, FirstStateVetSupply.com. FirstStateVetSupply.com. You can contact Peter Brown if you've got questions other than Monday between the hours of 12 and 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we will see you next Monday. Peter, we thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Andy and Pat. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Peter. That was excellent.
Fabulous, fabulous information, and that's going to wrap up the show for today. And we will end the show with a commercial break. I got to get a few more in before the show ends. But tomorrow will be a milestone. It's and I'll explain tomorrow. Not technically, but according to BTR, will be our 600th episode. Tomorrow will be episode number 600. We have had more episodes than that. Some were just poor and we deleted them. Some some may have been scheduled. some may have been scheduled over the last over three years, and then the show, something happened and the show didn't occur, so it might have been deleted. So we've had some shows that have been canceled, some shows that went, but then were deleted, and then of course we broadcast on local AM radio for about 6 months when we first started out, so we're not counting those. But as far as as official as we can get with our number anyway, tomorrow will be episode number 600, and we'll be joined by Andrew Odom, founder of TinyRevolution.us, TinyRevolution.us. So tomorrow we've got our 600th episode. We've got a great guest coming on talking all about living a minimalist lifestyle, living in a home that's about 11 feet by 28 feet. How about that? That's smaller than this room, Jen. The whole house. So the good, the bad, and the ugly about living that lifestyle and the priorities that you have when you live that type of lifestyle. So that'll be tomorrow's show. And I don't think I mentioned it on the air. I mentioned it in the chat room, but I think it does warrant mentioning that being tomorrow is our 600th episode, that over the weekend we had a last minute spike and we got up to number three on iTunes. In fact, I actually captured that screenshot, if you want to call it that, and posted it over on our Facebook page yesterday. I just happened to look yesterday afternoon. I was online and I said, let's see. We were number five as we started the weekend, but I guess all the folks that on Saturdays that like to listen to the podcast on iTunes of this radio show, they listened on Saturday, and that shot us up to number three on iTunes. Again, I got the screenshot of that and posted it on our Facebook page. You too can join us and become a fan at facebook.com/TheChickenWhisperer. So that's going to wrap up another show here. We hope you can tune in tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for more Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Pat, thank you very much for joining us today, and take it away, my friend.
Okay. Well, of course, today, again, thanks to Peter Brown. He's the chicken doctor from First State Vet Supply. And, of course, thanks to all our chat room chickeneers and all our listeners for clucking in and tuning in and listening and making us so high on the ratings. Thank you all so very, very much. Of course, Andy Schneider is the Chicken Whisperer and the creator of this show. And, of course, Andy, you are the wind beneath our wings. BlogTalkRadio.com provides our radio, our chat, and video services. And I'm Pat Forman, and from all of us, absolutely all of us, may the flock be with you. Quoth the chicken evermore. God bless everybody.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
Looking for an all-natural way to keep your flock healthy from intestinal parasites? Tired of wasting all those eggs due to a long withdrawal period? The answer is Vermex. With no artificial chemicals, Vermex has been a huge success for many species, offering a completely natural way to address intestinal hygiene control and improve general health. Check out the online store at www.vermexusa.com, VermexUSA.com, to see what products you need to keep your animals healthy. Vermex, natural control of intestinal parasites.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFRadio.com. That's GQFRadio.com.
Since 1921, Stromberg's has been a family-owned and operated business, providing quality poultry and poultry supplies to their customers. Today, the Stromberg family offers over 200 different breeds of poultry, including chickens, waterfowl, and game birds. They also offer poultry supplies for the beginner or advanced poultry keeper. Stromberg should be on the top of your list when it comes time to order. Shop online at www.strombergschickens.com or call today at 1-800-720-1134. Remember, that's strombergschickens.com.
Alrighty, folks, that's a wrap. Thank you very much for tuning in today. We'll see you tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Take care. Have a great day.
Ha ha ha.